Local law enforcement assist in arresting a man wanted for murder in Utah. And the Haines School District adopts its budget. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Haines Police, Alaska State Troopers, and Alaska Wildlife Troopers assisted Utah law enforcement Wednesday in arresting a man wanted for murder in Ogden, Utah. Activity associated with the case began early in the day near Allen Road. The man was finally apprehended and arrested about 2 p.m. after a foot pursuit through the woods between Small Tracks and Lower Mud Bay Road, according to Haines Police. The man was identified as 40-year-old Stephen Ellenwood, wanted for an outstanding warrant for aggravated murder in Ogden. Officials with the Ogden Police Department could not be reached late Wednesday. Haines Interim Police Chief Simon Ford said in a press release that Ellenwood has been transported to Lemon Creek Correctional Facility in Juneau, where he will be held without bail while arrangements are made for his extradition to Utah. The Haines School Board on Tuesday approved the district's budget after working to reflect the expected reductions in revenues due mostly to declining enrollment. The district is expecting to lose another 30 students in fiscal year 2014 for a total drop in enrollment of about 50 students over 2 years. That affects how much money the district receives from the state for base student allocation. The board, over the course of 3 budget workshops, identified cuts to supplies and equipment and then tackled cuts to its biggest expense, personnel. The budget calls for cutting 3 classified positions, which won't be needed because of the expected changes in student population. The equivalent of 2.5 aid positions will be paid for with grant funding, adding more savings to the budget, and a full-time junior high and high school math teacher position will be eliminated. Still up in the air is how much the district can rely on from the Haines Borough for funding. Superintendent Michael Beyer said he drafted the district budget based on the FY13 contribution by the borough. That amount is neither the least nor the most the borough can contribute to the school district, and the assembly is still in the process of finalizing the manager's draft budget. In it, manager Mark Ernest recommends funding the school district at the same level as FY13. Also Tuesday, the board approved appropriating up to $50,000 for renovating the high school boys' and girls' locker rooms. Borough Public Facilities Director Carlos Jimenez was at the meeting and said he was unsure how far $50,000 would go toward the fixes, but suggested the board prioritize the renovations. He also said if the school facilities staff could install new lockers, it would save money and the need to hire a contractor. The board prioritized new lockers, bathroom stall door dividers, and new toilets and sinks as the most important renovations to begin with. Also at the school board meeting, Superintendent Beyer recognized board member and high school senior Royal Henderson for his nomination for the Spirit of Youth Award. He is nominated in the business and government category for his leadership as student body president and likely the youngest school board member in the state. The Spirit of Youth will review the nominations and determine award winners early next year. And about that story from our last newscast about the Haines Borough repurposing the Barnett water tank, the borough still has bundles of redwood salvaged from the tank available for purchase. The borough held a lottery for most of the wood, but still has 5 bundles of 100 linear feet of 3x8 redwood available for $300. The bundles will be sold first come, first serve at the borough offices beginning at 8 a.m. Thursday. The borough will accept cash only and is allowing only 1 purchase per household. The money will go to the Haines Borough General Fund. For more information, visit the Haines Borough website. Quick note about nearby waters of Glacier Bay. Vessels operating inside Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve are being required to slow down in order to protect humpback whales from injury. Park Superintendent Susan Boudreau announced Tuesday that vessels will be restricted to going 13 knots, or about 15 miles per hour, in Lower Glacier Bay and at the mouth of the bay. The restrictions will apply to all vessels greater than 18 feet. Boats will also be restricted to mid-channel travel or being at least a nautical mile offshore. Park officials say in the last week, 17 different humpback whales have been observed feeding in the area. Humpback whales come to Glacier Bay in the summer to feed on fish after wintering in the Hawaiian Islands. The Skagway Assembly is having another special meeting Friday. One of the items on the agenda is an emergency ordinance to accommodate an assembly member having to be out of state for medical reasons during the municipality's budget review. Municipal code allows assembly members to join assembly meetings by teleconference only 4 times per year and only for 2 consecutive meetings. But the assembly member in question may be out of state for medical reasons for the next 2 months. So, the Assembly on Thursday will consider an emergency ordinance that for the next 60 days would supersede regular code. If passed, it will allow Assembly members to participate in meetings by teleconference up to 8 times with no restrictions on consecutive meetings. But also Friday, an ordinance will be introduced to change the code permanently to allow the mayor and Assembly members to attend by teleconference a maximum of 8 meetings per year. The emergency ordinance will go into effect immediately if passed, but the ordinance making permanent changes to the code will have public hearings before going into effect. The assembly will also discuss the definitions of farmers markets and convene in executive session to discuss the ore dock access agreement. The meeting takes place at 7 p.m. Friday in assembly chambers. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is hoping to gather more data on grouse and ptarmigan in Southeast, and biologists would like help from upland hunters. The season is open until May 16th, and state small game biologist Rick Marazon in Palmer says the department is asking hunters to turn in one wing and the tail from each bird they harvest. Matt Lichtenstein asked Marazon about the research effort.
About 2 years ago, we developed a hunter-harvested wing collection program statewide where we're hoping to collect wings and tails from harvested grouse and ptarmigan statewide. And from those samples, we can estimate sex and age and harvest composition. We can also get a real crude estimate on juvenile production from the previous summer. And it just really helps us. It's what relatively easy way for us to get some of those metrics on these populations with that otherwise we might not be able to get. And so we're looking for hunters that are interested in voluntarily providing us these samples. And we've created wing envelopes and postage paid return envelopes so that we hope that there's no expense to the hunter in hopes of it further encouraging more people to participate.
How do the populations look on a statewide level anyway? Do you have a handle at all on how things look for grouse or for ptarmigan?
Well, we're currently in the midst of our annual springtime abundance assessment, and typically most of those surveys that we're doing are for ruffed, sharp-tail grouse and willow and rock ptarmigan, primarily along the primary road system in Alaska. However, in Southeast Alaska, Division of Wildlife Conservation staff with the department are doing their annual springtime and sort of early summer pellet counts for Sitka black-tailed deer down there, and they've offered to help us out, me out, in collecting any observations they get for Franklin spruce grouse and sooty grouse down in Southeast. So that's one more metric we use to assess abundance and how the populations are doing. Generally in Southeast Alaska, the populations are doing fairly well for both sooty grouse, primarily sooty grouse, but reports are relatively good for ptarmigan as well up in the higher country. Generally, though, where hunters can easily access good hunting locations adjacent to the road, populations are generally a little bit lower than they are in more remote areas of the Southeast.
Anything else folks should know about the program?
Yeah, there is, actually. Because it's a voluntary program, and obviously folks have to put some of their own effort into this to make it successful, we've offered to, once we receive those samples from hunters, we'll look at those relatively quickly within a week or two of us getting them, and I'll turn that back around and get that information back to the hunter. And in addition to that, we will also send them the annual status of small game report that comes out typically by mid to late summer, generally right around the beginning of the hunting season in early August. So if hunters want to participate in this program, all they need to do is provide some kind of a contact for me, whether it's a physical address or an email address, and I can get both the results of their individual samples back to them quickly, and as well as an electronic copy of the report. The report is also going to be available on the Small Game webpage of the Fish and Game website, which is just www.smallgame.adfg.alaska.gov.
You can find that link with more information on how to participate in the study on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website or by going to the local Fish and Game office in Haines. For KHNS News, I'm Marga Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community for our guidelines. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS listener commentary.